Hello, and welcome to The Sodded Geek. I am Stork, but I'd rather be Optimus Prime. I don't know. I wasn't really prepared for this opening. But as we do every week, let's get into the box office for the weekend. And this weekend is covering June 9th through 11th, I believe. There was not a holiday. So, yes. Number one, Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Beasts. That's a tough one to say. By Paramount Pictures, I think, 60.5 million in its opening weekend. Pretty good. 60 million weekend. I think that's not bad. Yeah. So Transformers movies are just popular. I don't get it. I was a Transformer. I grew up in the right age to like Transformers, right? I had a couple. I enjoyed them. They're cool. They're expensive at the time, and I think still probably, but I never saw the original the Michael Bay Transformers movies. I didn't care. I didn't even like the cartoon that much. I think I watched a bit of it, but I wasn't huge into it. The toys I really thought were cool, but again, they were pricey and I didn't have a lot of them. So it's not something for me, but I think it's cool that they're going in a different direction from the Michael Bay movies. The Bumblebee movie was okay. It was better than okay. It was plus okay. I don't know. I like Hailee Steinfeld, so that was a big boost for me. But to me, it was still just a Transformers movie. The Beasts, that's kind of interesting, I guess. Will I watch it? Sure, eventually. But I'm not rushing out to see it. God, I should just have that on a loop. I'm not rushing out to see it. I won't see this in a theater. Blah, blah, blah. I honestly should have a key on my soundboard that says I'm not going to see this in a theater. I'll watch it on streaming, because boy, that covers probably 98% of the movies that I'm going to talk about. But anyway, let's move on to number two, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse from Sony. Another 55.5 million for 225.5. huge, well deserved. Based on the goodwill from the first movie, I think it should be that high. I had no desire to see that first movie, watched it and loved it. It might have been my favorite Spider-Man movie until the third Tom Holland movie, which I think hits the nostalgia more for me than this did, because I was never a Miles Morales reader. So, but for something to grab me that way, that I wasn't aware of as far as like a new character, and to love it that much to begin with, I think that did something special. And it was going against how I felt the animation was. That was the drawback to me, was the animation. Just looking at it was jarring. And I watched it and I thought, man, it just fits. So it's exciting that it still did that well. I think it's only been out for 2 weeks. I think it's just going to get higher and higher, and I think well-deserved. I can't wait to see it. I'm not... Where's my button? Not going to see it in a theater. I'm just not. It takes a lot to get me out of the house, and movies typically aren't it. Especially in this day and age, I think it's just so easy to wait 2 months, 3 months, and be like, I'll enjoy it at home and not have the distractions of other people. That's the big thing. I rarely have good experiences in movie theaters. There's been one in the last, and granted, I don't go a lot, but one in the last 10 years that I can think of where I was like, man, I'm glad I was here for this movie. And it was A Quiet Place, is that what it's called? The one with John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. It was just cool to be in a theater where everybody, all 10 of us, because when I do go, I do try and pick times that are not crowded, but it was cool that nobody made any noise throughout that movie. Everybody was quiet because that was the point. It was, you're trying to hear every little sound. You're on the edge of your seat. And it just worked, and that was such a cool experience. And I've never felt or had anything like that. It's always cool when there's like a cheer because you're in a crowded movie theater. But I don't like, since COVID, I don't want to be in a crowded movie theater, and I will avoid that. And even before that, I don't like crowded spaces. That's just, maybe it's a me thing, but I would rather almost exclusively watch everything from home. Even to me now, like big blockbuster movies that I think I see why they're on the, like they belong on the big screen, and you get much more from them on the big screen. Like I just watched, I'm sure I talked about it last time or the time before that, Ant-Man Quantumania. It probably would have been amazing on the big screen because of the visuals and things like that. And that's a movie that's made for, I like dramas to me. More serious movies don't need to be, which is sad because those are the ones hurting from lack of viewership. Like the Marvel movies, the superhero movies, they get all the viewers maybe because it's better to see it on a huge screen and just be immersed in that world. So maybe that's what they have going for them. I don't know, but there are certain movies that I feel like, yeah, you might get more out of it from viewing them at the theater. But to me, the pluses and minuses are swayed to the point where you really, really have to wow me or like really encourage me to go see it at the movie theater at this point, because man, the experience from home is so close. So yeah, it's going to take a lot. Anyway, number three, Little Mermaid. It's been out 3 weeks and it made another $22.8-ish million for $228.8. That's a good showing, I think. So that's cool. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, another $7 million for $335. Boogeyman holding strong. That's pretty impressive. Horror movies typically do well in theaters. Let's be honest, the people that go to the theater, they're younger. They're younger than me. They're teenagers. That's a thing to do on a Friday night. And that's how it's always been, right? It takes a lot to get people my age, I think, especially nowadays, to go to a theater. So I am never shocked when there's a horror movie high up. I think the lasting power of something is more impressive, but opening weekend, you typically get that, I think, teenage bump. And Boogeyman has been out 2 weeks and it's still in the top five. Another made $6.9 million for $24.7 million. That's respectable for a horror movie, I think. Coming at six, Fast X from Universal, $5.2 million for $138 million. Out 4 weeks. I think that's disappointing for a franchise film at this stage. If this was a James Bond movie, let's say, because that's my wheelhouse, and it was out for 4 weeks and it only made $138 million, I'd be shocked. Maybe I'm in the wrong. I don't have stats in front of me or anything, but that just looks wrong to me, especially considering number seven, Super Mario Brothers movie, from Universal, made another $2 million for a total of $570. It's been out 10 weeks. But I'm no math major, but 10 weeks, that's saying that's averaged $57 million a week. Of course, it only made $2 million this week, but still, that's a lot of kashunda for an animated movie. It's not Disney. It's not Pixar. It's Universal. So I think it's pretty big. Man, I don't know what the big movie of the year is, but that seems to be like a huge movie of the year to me already. It's not going to win anything, I don't think. But making $500 million and you're not a franchise movie, that's pretty big. So kudos to Super Mario Brothers. I actually am anticipating watching that now. I wouldn't have before. I didn't really care about it. I'm a huge Super Mario Brothers fan. I've played, I think, every Super Mario Brothers game, barring possibly a Game Boy game here or there. But I'm a big Nintendo fan, and that's Nintendo, Super Mario Brothers, as well as Zelda and Metroid and the Smash Brothers and things like that. But that's the Nintendo franchise, Super Mario. And so I think they must have done a great job, because people would call them out on bullshit, I think. I think you'd get a Fast and Furious number, like 138 million, if people went and saw it and were like, bad word of mouth. I don't remember this getting just dredged through, raked over the coals, let's say, of being terrible. I don't remember hearing great, great reviews for it either. So it's probably a lot of fanboys, but that only carries you so far. Like I said, I think the 138 million for Fast X is fanboys carrying you so far, but I haven't heard anything from that movie as far as praise. I don't know. I think that has to be some of the success of Super Mario Brothers, is people liking it and telling people, even if you don't see it online or whatever, go see this movie, it's good, or people seeing it a second time possibly. And that's something that I think goes under the radar of people returning to see movies multiple times. That used to be a thing, I think, that was more popular in my day and age and youth, because it wasn't like, oh, I'll be able to see it again in 2 months or 3 months for free, because of, well, free, quote unquote, because I have the streaming service. It'll be on there. If you're a big fan, you'll go see it in a theater and then, oh, I'll see it again. Or it'll be on DVD in a couple months or whatever. In my day, that didn't happen. So if you really loved a movie, you would go see it a couple times. So that boosted those sales. So looking at 570 million, I almost think that there's probably some return viewers for that one. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But yeah, that's all I got for the box office, the top seven, because I don't look at things that I've never heard of. I'm done with that. But I do have, moving on, a getting to know you. I'm not going to sing the song because Peacock's not here. I have been really sick lately. Nothing to do with my overlying illness. If you want to learn about that, check out patreon.com/episodicake. But I got sick. I think last Thursday or Friday, and I'm blaming it on some old canned chili that I had probably put in the fridge for 5 or 6 days. I'm not going to say what brand. I'll just say it was a great value, but in the long run, probably not, because I don't know if explosive diarrhea has ever entered my lexicon before, but I think it was apropos for this. I also got a fever. I was that sick. And there's nothing else. I tested for COVID. Of course, nowadays you get a fever, you test for COVID. No, it wasn't that. And the shitty thing, not to make a pun or anything like that, I wouldn't do that, but my nephew's graduation party was like the day after I was really sick, but I managed to suck it up and go, and I had a good time there. And of course, like the day before, I didn't eat anything. I think all day I had roughly 12 saltines and a couple ginger ales for over 24 hours. That's all I ate. So I went to this party, and of course there's a big spread, and I'm starving at this point. And I had some chicken, some fried, like just breaded chicken. I think it was fried. I don't know. It was from Chick-fil-A. I've never had Chick-fil-A before, but it was pretty good. Just some chicken, like tenders. I had some of those on a bun, and a couple of popcorn chicken things maybe, and some crackers and cheese, which I probably would have eaten at home anyway. I was like in that phase of like, I need something else other than just saltines. So yeah, I ate some of that. And then I was a lot of water, and I was very adamant about, like, no booze today. I'm not going to have any booze. Well, I got pressured, and I had about a shot and a half of tequila. And I got home, and it's just like, nope, stomach's still not ready. And actually the next day, the Saturday, I was like, that was my worst day on the old, the commode, as they say. So yeah, and I'm feeling better now. I did succumb and take some Imodiums because I was just like, I'm getting sore back there. So not to get gross, but I need a break. So yeah. So hopefully I'm over it. I think it was just like a mild food poisoning thing. But the weird thing was getting the fever. Like, I was over 101. So that was odd. But that was my big weekend. That's why I hadn't done, I really am trying to put out a little more content other than just one show a week. I think we'll be doing our Patreon movie possibly this coming weekend, which is going to be Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, our second Star Wars movie. So on patreon.com/besottedgeek. Stay tuned for that. And yeah, but it's been a rough 5 days for old Stork. So we'll see. I'm like I said, I'm trying to put out some more content, but I just was not up for it at that point. Hopefully I'll get another tier out sometime this week. I don't know what, but I'll try and tier something in the next couple of days or two. Anyway, moving on. Didn't really watch too much new stuff this week, as I like to call it, new stuff. As far as releases on streaming services or theaters, don't count on much of that, as previously stated. But I do have a little bit of sports ball news. What I did watch was the RBC Canadian Open. Of course, golf. That's pretty much all I'm going to cover on here, I think, unless something crazy happens in another sport that I'm just blown away by, but I really don't watch anything else. But this is not a major of golf. There's four majors. It's the U.S. Open, the British Open, the Masters, and the PGA Championship. We already have been through two of them. The Masters, always the first one. The PGA Championship, I always thought that was later, but that already happened. So I'll get on to the U.S. Open soon, but this was the Canadian Open. So it's a lot of countries do have an open tournament, but it's part of the PGA Tour. It's a big deal, even if it's only Canadian. Sorry, Canada. But a couple things to take away from this one. I'm just going to start with not who won, but as we were watching it, me and Peacock, we're kind of into watching golf on the weekend, usually just Sunday, but we'll tune in for the last nine holes or so. This was odd. The 15th fairway, the leader is walking down it, and all of a sudden he's got an earbud in his ear, and he's talking to the announcers about his shot, what he's going through in his head, and it was so awkward. It was just weird. It's like, man, he's right. There's literally the 15th, 16th, 17th, four holes to play. He's in the middle of the fourth hole to go, and they're interviewing him, and it just felt bizarre. And I was just like, why are they doing this? Why is he even agreeing to this? This is, I mean, he's Canadian, so he's a nice guy. And I think that played some into it. I'll talk about that in a minute. But it just felt so out of place and awkward to watch. And I was just like, this is bullshit. Would you interview a guy at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning with two outs and two men on, down by three? And like, oh, what are you looking for here for the pitcher to throw to you? Would you interview a quarterback with 30 seconds to go from the 20-yard line, down by seven? What are you seeing from the defense right now? It just felt so bizarre, and I really hated it. And I was really ready to tear them apart, CBS, for even doing it. And then it came out after commercial break and whatever, that this was prearranged. They just, I guess this is a thing. I haven't seen it before. Maybe I hadn't, just didn't register with me. But apparently they approach a player before the tournament, or before maybe the day. I would assume before the whole tournament, and just be like, hey, can we talk to you on Sunday when you're going down a hole? And we'll just talk about the tournament or how it's going or whatever. And it just so happened that this guy, Nick Taylor, was leading the tournament at the time on the 15th, and it just felt weird. And then he kind of fell apart after that. And it was like, oh, that is, it just left a bad taste in my mouth. The announcer even addressed it and said, like, boy, we felt awkward about it. And we would have totally understood if he bowed out, but he didn't because he's Canadian and nice. And I think they should have a built-in thing where it's like, if this guy is in contention, don't even bother, or go to somebody else. Go to like, they always interview people who have finished, and that's fine. Even people in contention that finish, like if they're in the clubhouse and they have the lead or they're one back, they could possibly go into a playoff or win based on what the people behind them do. Yeah, you can talk to them. I don't think that's a big deal. But when the guy is walking down the fair, like he's huffing and puffing, not out of breath or anything, but he's walking down the fairway. It really struck me as odd and out of place. And I hated it. Honestly, I hated it. So I hope they abandon that or adjust it where I don't want to see the guy who has to make shots coming up to possibly win. And this is a huge tournament for this guy. I'll get into it. But just that really was off-putting. So I know you're listening, CBS. You got to change your rules there. Don't be like, hey, do you still want to do it even though you're in position to win? You know, spoilers, your country's tournament. Because Nick Taylor is from Canada. Just be like, hey, dude, we know you agreed to this, but we understand the circumstance. So we're not even going to talk to you. So don't worry about it. We'll find somebody else to talk to. I don't even like it. I don't know. Just as an idea, it just seems stupid to me. Talking to somebody on the course, it's like they do it with baseball. Sometimes they'll talk to the manager or something. That's fine. Maybe if you even talk to the caddy. But I feel like the player should be kind of like, let the player do their own thing. They're right in the middle of this huge thing. Like this went to show you, you don't know what position they're going to be in. So it seems like it's just a crapshoot that why would you even do it? It's really off-putting to me. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, this Nick Taylor, he from Canada. This is Canadian Open. No one has won the Canadian Open from Canada in 69 years at this point. So keep that in mind. It's big. Other fellow Canadians are like, some people had played and drove back as they had left, and like, oh, one of our boys is potentially going to win. So like, people are driving back to watch this guy play. They're following him on each hole. Other players in the PGA Tour, like, not just, it was a good atmosphere too, because they had like one hole, the 14th hole, they had like a hockey rink kind of built around where they tee off. And every time a Canadian player walked up to the tee box, they would sing "O Canada" and then pound on the boards. It was pretty cool. So the one thing that was off-putting about it was the announcers making stupid Canadian jokes about hockey and maple syrup. And well, I might have made that one up myself, but just, it was like, okay, is this how it's going to be every time? Come on. Actually, they had like the officials on the hole dressed in referee uniforms, which is a bit much too. But overall, the atmosphere was pretty cool, especially because they had a Canadian in contention that late in the tournament. So it really came down to two guys, and it went into a playoff. And this is the third week in a row that the PGA Tour event has gone to a playoff. And not even, I swear there was another time not too long ago, not even like the, well, not the third time in a row or fourth time in a row, but there's been a lot of playoffs. There's been a lot of close tournaments, and that always makes it exciting. Like, Peacock was like watching it and like, I'm used to this. This is what I expect. I expect a playoff. Throughout the day, there were five or six or seven people all within one shot of each other, which was crazy. And I think it makes it so much more compelling. As cool as it is to see Tiger Woods win by 12 or whatever, it's more compelling to see so many people into it until the final hole. To me, there's room for both, I guess, because when you're watching a player run away with it like Tiger did, that's, you're watching history. But when you're watching anybody could win it, it seems more exciting. So I don't know. It was cool, and it went to a playoff, and it went four holes. They played the 18th twice, and then, which was a par five, and it's nuts because they're both choking. They're these great players, and down the stretch, Nick Taylor, the Canadian, and Tommy Fleetwood from England, who has never won a PGA Tour event either. So you're kind of like rooting for that guy too. Nick Taylor's won three, I think, but he's the Canadian, so everybody's rooting for him on the course. And yeah, it's like back and forth, and you don't know who you root for. Like, as somebody who doesn't really have any horse in the race, it's like, do I root for the guy who hasn't won? Do I root for the good story for Canada? You know, no Canadians won in 69 years this tournament in their home country. So it was really compelling. And after four holes, Nick Taylor they played 18, 18, and then I think 9, which was a par 3, and then they go back to 18. Weird. I don't know how they come up with that configuration of like playing 18 twice and then 9, then back to 18. But anyway, he won it with a 72-foot putt. He sunk, and that in itself was crazy. Like, when it went in, he didn't even believe it. Like, he's just standing there like, what? And then you see the other Canadian golfers, like the pros on the sidelines, go nuts. And the whole, all the fans are going crazy because it's their guy, it's their country. It was like one of the best tournament things I've seen. It's anytime, especially not being a major. That's what was impressive about it. Was like, man, I really cared about what happened in this. And I didn't really care who won at that point because I think they were both good stories. But seeing that guy sink a 72-foot putt, like with the last 10 feet, I was like, holy shit, this has a chance to go in. And Peacock's watching, and she audibly gasped and looked at me like, what? It was crazy. So yeah, it's a rich old white dude sport. I get it. But what I like about it is you're playing by yourself, and you can't blame anybody else but yourself, and you take that on your shoulders. So I think that's what makes golf cool. And yeah, I hadn't seen anything like that. I've never seen a putt made, and that was the longest putt he made on his career. And this guy's been playing for, I think, 10 years or so as a pro. He actually won as an amateur on the same course, I think, or the same tournament, maybe? I don't know. But, yeah, that was really good. And I can't wait for next week and see what golf gives us, because it's been a great year as far as what I've seen so far, watching from the Masters on, pretty much. I might have missed a tournament here or there, but it's been really entertaining. As stupid as that is to say about golf, I get it. People are at home are probably like, entertaining golf? Pah, it's so boring. But once you start to get to know the players and the course is its own character, which is fun because that's what they're playing against, really. is the chorus in themselves. So anyway, to close up sports ball, I have some other scores. 3-2, 108-95, 14-7, 1-5, and 2-1. So there's that. Moving on. Nerd news. And this one is brought to you by a correspondent out of Michigan, Bruce. Lionsgate is ready to find that pot of gold as they are moving forward with its reboot of the 1993 cult classic.
Really?
Film Leprechaun. God damn it. They have also hired Philippe Vargas to helm the film from a script written by Mike Van Wyse, who recently worked on Disney's live-action Lilo and Stitch movie, which I didn't know there was a live-action Lilo and Stitch movie. Is that a thing? Anyway, another Leprechaun movie. A reboot, no less. You know, when Peacock and I started this podcast way back in 2016 or 17, I don't know what year, one of those two, I think, there were 6 Leprechaun movies, and we just watched the 6th one on patreon.com/besidedageek, and it was not good. The last 3 have not been good, spoilers. But it was like, oh, well, we're done with this franchise whenever we finish that. Nope. Not only is there a new one coming, but there's other 3 that apparently some sites say tie in. Some say only one does. I don't know. We'll probably watch all 3 or 4 at this point. By the time we get to through 3 of them, I'm sure this thing will be out. Is it a cult classic? Maybe. Warwick Davis not returning. That's all but confirmed. What do I want from it? Gore. I want a lot of gore. I think that's what Leprechaun was built on. I want a good makeup, of course, for the Leprechaun. I want the Leprechaun to rhyme, damn it. I want him to rhyme like Etrigan in DC rhymes. Like every scene. I want him to rhyme like the musical movie Les Mis. Damn near every line in that is sung, okay? There's a couple where they don't sing it, they just say it. I'll live with that. I want damn near every Leprechaun line to rhyme with another one. Once or twice, you can get away with just saying something. I want Lep to be after a pot of gold. Someone stole the pot of gold or some of it, and that's what his motivation is. I don't want him to be after a whistle. I don't want him to be after getting a wife. I don't want him smoking weed. I don't want him in space. Just make it basic. Someone found a pot of gold, took some, he wants it back. So if you can bring me all that, I can get behind it. The fact that this Lionsgate is a little disconcerting to me. I didn't even know they were still a production company. Did it deserve to be? Probably not. I wish it was something. I wish it was like a Shudder movie or something. They could probably do better. A sci-fi movie could probably do better. But we shall see. We'll be covering it, I'm sure. Next bit of news. Star Wars Outlaws trailer brings the galaxy far, far away to open world gaming. That's the title. So we're getting an open world Star Wars video game. I'll read the blurb before I get into my thoughts. Experience the first ever open-world Star Wars game set between the events of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Explore distinct planets across the galaxy, both iconic and new. Risk it all as Kay Vess, an emerging scoundrel seeking freedom and the means to start a new life, along with her companion Nix. Fight, steal, and outwit your way through the galaxy's crime syndicates as you join the galaxy's most wanted. And this comes out in 2024, so Lucasfilm has given us Lucas Games. I don't know who's control. It's Lucas based, okay? Great trailer. I will never say anything against the trailer. I will say I have seen great Lucas Arts. I think, is that what it is? The game development side? I've seen great Lucas Arts trailers come to nothing, especially in the Indiana Jones realm. So I will hold judgment until I see gameplay, as I try to do with most video game stuff. They always show you this glossy, almost looks like live action trailer nowadays. And I'm always just like, that's great and all, but can I see gameplay? Because that's what I'm going to be dealing with. I'm not going to be watching it. I'm going to be playing it. So show me what that is. So I'll wait. Open world, that's intriguing. I look to modern open world classics. I mean, GTA 5 is still going strong to the point where they haven't had to make GTA 6. I think it's coming out. There's always rumors. Every year is rumors. But it's that good that they can port it from generation to generation and people still buy it, and it's that big and immersive and you can do so much. Another Rocksteady game, Red Dead Redemption 2, huge open world. Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and the new one, Tears of the Kingdom, open world. I just can't wrap my head around a Star Wars. I can't even wrap my tongue around it. A Star Wars open world game. What does that look like? I assume the open world is going, you have to have space, right? So you're in space and you're going planet to planet, I would guess. The planet must have its own open world. Does each planet have an open world? How big is that on each planet? Like, if you go to Tatooine, is it just Mos Eisley? Can you go from Mos Eisley to, you know, Jabba's palace in that area? Is that really open world? Because you're confined to an area in another area. Really can't wrap my mind around it. So I really have to see what they come up with and how they do open world, considering it's the Star Wars universe. It's intriguing. The character looks really cool and fun, and Nyx is like a little creature that helps you out, and I think she also has a robot, a droid, if you will, pal, to help her. Also, the whole exploring the underworld of Star Wars, is that like the new thing? Because, I mean, it's always been Rebels and Empire. And then I've always heard people complain, like, I want to see the underworld. I want to see the bounty hunters. And there's always the crime syndicates and things like that. I feel like that's getting a little played out too at this point, though. So I don't know. This might be, I'm not going to say the death nail, but they might want to go back to Jedi and stuff. Like, that's what makes it so cool, right? Do I want to be just a scoundrel? It might be all right for a game. But I really liked the Force Awakens game, and I haven't played the new one. And I really want that. Like, when I'm done with Zelda, that's going to be the next game I get, I think. And then there's another game I'm going to talk about in a second that'll probably be the next one after that. But I don't know. I think the compelling thing is the Empire and the Rebels. And have you done a huge game about that to this point? Modern? Maybe it's played out. I don't know. We'll see. It looks really good from the trailer, but like I said, the trailer is not the gameplay, and it's going to rely on what you do with that whole open world concept and how you work that. So we shall see in 2024, which sounds long, but it's not that far away. In fact, the next game I couldn't believe is coming, how soon it's coming out, and it's Marvel's Spider-Man 2. It set a release date, confirms Venom is not Eddie Brock. So they're doing much like they did with the original Spider-Man game on PlayStation 4, I think it came out. They're changing up a little bit of the history of Spider-Man. I'm fine with that. I don't want the same thing. Do your own thing. Tell your own story. There's a lot of great characters. There's a lot of great villains. The way you move them around and things, I think it makes a more interesting playthrough. I don't want to play through something I already read or saw. So, yeah, do your own thing. October 20th, it comes out for PS5. Man, that's right around the corner. I can't believe it. I'm very excited because I love both the Spider-Man games. And this one, Superfan Otter and I talked about a little bit. Superfan of Pittsburgh Nerd, not of this show. just otter to us. But I showed him a clip, I think, of it's the black suit. It's the symbiote suit that Peter's wearing. And he had asked me, oh, is Miles in this? And yeah, that's the gameplay. I watched a 10-minute gameplay. So I actually saw actual gameplay. Boy, does it look good. Like, gorgeous. And you alternate between Peter and Miles. And Peter is being corrupted by the symbiote suit. And Miles is there. And it's very Lizard. The clip I saw, anyway, was them trying to save Lizard from Kraven. Lizard has something that Peter needs, I think. So it's new characters, other than what we've seen in the previous games, for sure. A lot of special new skills, especially with that symbiote suit. That's crazy. And even Miles has new skills. A lot of flying through the city with the glider in the suit. And it showed new special attacks, and with the shocking ability that Miles has, and invisibility and things like that. It looks great. And it looks like Miles is there to save Peter, which makes sense. And I like that relationship, and I want to see that built. And we kind of got like a taste of it at the end of Spider-Man. And I played Spider-Man twice, I think. I only played Miles once, and I don't remember Peter being that heavily involved. I know he's in it because they used a different model, which was off-putting. So we'll see what he looks like in this one. I assume they'll go with that model. I can't wait to see the interaction. And yeah, hopefully we get a balance, because the first game was a lot longer than the second game. And I think Miles is such a cool character and such interesting and different abilities that I hope that they give him as much time as Peter, even though that we're going to get the symbiote suit, which has its own set of abilities. I assume what I would like to see maybe is that Peter gets, like, before he gets the suit. So you're kind of like, maybe like still as an intro to the game, learn a little bit about how to control Spider-Man, because I always like a refresher. So get some of that, and then you get how to control him as the symbiote spider, and then we'll probably get Miles refresher, and then they both build up their different abilities, and then probably saving Peter from the symbiote and having to fight it maybe at the end. It's a great character. I think to me it's Batman and Spider-Man are the two greatest comic book characters. I know people who love Superman will say, what? Superman's the OG. I know he's up there. But I think even if you look at it, like, who moves the needle, it's those two. And so it's cool to have two Spider-Men in the same game. And I really can't wait for it, because they were both great games. It's what makes me come back to PlayStation. It's the games. That's why I'm a Nintendo fan first and foremost, is those games. I think they just make great games, and you can't find them on another system. So for me, when it's between what I consider the more adult systems of PlayStation or Xbox, I look at the games, and I like Sony's games better than Microsoft's. I don't care about Halo. I don't care about multiplayer online shooters. I really don't. And there's a lot of crossover between the two. I get it. So to me, the deciding factor is what are the first party games? And I think Sony has the edge. I really like Spider-Man. I think Horizon is first person for Sony. I don't know. I like that. So that's where I lean. And I just like the controller better too. That fat Xbox controller weirds me out. So maybe that's just me. But anyway, let's move on out of video game news and move into some little more pop culture type news. And this one's about cereal, of all things. Carmella Creeper is the first new monster cereal in 35 years. the blurb from, I think, General Mills. Yeah. Carmilla Creeper is actually the long-lost cousin of Frankenberry. General Mills describes her as, quote, a zombie DJ with an edgy sound who was always the life of the party. She has a fierce attitude and looks to match, and Carmilla is ready to shake things up at the Monster's Haunted Mansion. Her new limited edition cereal features caramel apple-flavored pieces. Interesting. Maybe a little throwback to Apple Jacks. That was one of my favorites as a kid, honestly. With colored Monster marshmallows. They will also include Carmilla in Monster Mash Remix cereal. Look for that. Similar to the 50th anniversary released in 2021, this one is a mix of all six Monster Cereals flavors, which includes Carmilla Creeper, of course, Fruit Brute. That's one of the two. I don't know if I ever had, okay, Count Chocula, Booberry, Frankenberry, and Yummy Mummy. I don't know if I've ever had Fruit Brute or Yummy Mummy. I might have had one of the two. But I was never a kid that got to get crappy cereal when I was growing up. Like, Lucky Charms was once in a while. I would get by with Fruit Loops and Trix and Cap'n Crunch. I never had Monster cereals growing up. Recently, as an adult, I've tried them and enjoyed them immensely. But I will be looking out for Carmilla Creeper and giving that a shot because, I like I said, I don't mind the fake apple flavoring. Maybe it'll take me back to my youth as Apple Jacks, but also with the bonus of quote-unquote marshmallows. Because they're not really marshmallows, are they? Let's be honest. And also, the Monster Mash thing has me intrigued with all the different ones. So, we'll see. I will report back whenever that happens. But let's look to the future. And coming this week, new attractions to keep an eye out for. And what I will be looking out for. Strange New World Season 2 on Paramount Plus, June 15th. So we're kicking off the second season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds with Captain Pike and crew. Looking forward to that, especially the crossover with Lower Decks. That has me really intrigued. It looks exciting. There's a few things in the trailer that I didn't get into when me and Peacock talked about it last movie month on patreon.com/besotengeek. Yeah, that have me a little concerned about maybe Spock being a little too emotional. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, won't we? So that is exciting news. It's coming out Thursday? Yeah. Also, Extraction 2. A lot of these are Friday, including this one, on Netflix. The first Extraction movie with Chris Hemsworth. Nuts. Not so crazy, over-the-top action. Tried to force in a story, but really gave it up a third of the way through and was better off for it. This is a spiritual successor to something like a Commando to me. Just a over-the-top, crazy action, no real plot, who cares? It's just a muscle-bound guy beating the hell and killing, racking up body count baddies. So that's always fun for mindless entertainment, especially after recording a podcast for 4 hours. Then we have Stan Lee coming June 16th as well on Disney Plus, a documentary on Stan the Man Lee. So that could be, it should be interesting. I know a little bit about Stan, but I hope it's not sugar-coated. I have a feeling it might be. I would like to see something pretty honest about him, you know, flaws and all. Because there are, as there are with all of us. So I hope that it doesn't shy away from certain things. But I like the acknowledgement and celebration of one of the hugest comic creators of all time, and hopefully they do more. I'd like to see other creators honored, because it's easy to honor Stan. He's the one that's always out in the forefront. He was in all the movies and the cameos and things like that. So, but let's get let's see some more from the other guys. It's Disney, so I mean, you've got other Marvel creators to draw from. I think people that, especially ones that drew and wrote some, what some of the movies were, the popular movies were based on. Let's, even if it's just like a single documentary about it, if you don't want to focus on one, like, show some honor to the people who came before what this huge juggernaut is. And if you're starting with Stan Lee, I hope it's good and I hope they continue. And then for the ladies, Outlander season 7, June 16th on Stars. Knee porn, as I've heard it called. I won't be partaking. I've not seen the first 6 seasons of Outlander. I'm sure Peacock will be excited about this, though. Jamie is back. In theaters, The Flash opens Friday, and I have heard nothing but good things other than, boy, I wish it wasn't Ezra Miller as The Flash. But otherwise, I've heard nothing but good things about the movie. So that's exciting. It looks good. I will be the first to admit from the trailers, it looks good. Is it part nostalgia for Keaton? Of course it is. For me. It also is, I think it's interesting what they're doing with this version of Supergirl, for lack of a better term. Is she called Supergirl in this? I don't know. Kara Zor-El? Is that what we're going with? I can't remember from the trailer. It's been a while since I watched it, but it seems like a lot of people like it, and that's great. And I think I don't see them doing anything with it. Sadly, I think that ship has sailed, but I don't mind seeing the old DCEU go. I just want good DC movies. So if this is one of them, good, because there haven't been a lot. And in comics, Black Panther number 1, new number 1 for Black Panther from Marvel, of course. I think Eve Ewing, the writer, so we'll see about that. Void Rivals number 1 from Image, and this Weird Science DC, Weird Science, Jim put me onto this one. I haven't read it yet. I hear it's a mind-blowing conclusion. There's a big spoiler. I don't know what it is. Don't look for it if you don't want spoiled, because it's out there. But it seems like this is, like, big. So I can't wait to read it and possibly discuss it. So we'll see. On the manga side, Manga Plus has Demon Lord Exchange, also that Weird Science covered very recently. I have not read, but that is the new one out on Manga Plus. And if you don't know, Manga Plus is it's an app, and most first chapters are free, and most new chapters, it seems, are free. So if you're into manga, you can just read it, and there you go. So check that out. I also have the Shonen Jump app, and it has a lot of free stuff on it too. So those are two little apps that are legit. There's no shady business. I think it's crazy, but they give you the stuff for free, and then the stuff prints and people buy it anyway. I do. I like to read. I like a physical copy, but what a crazy concept. They get you hooked, and then they still sell the print copy and people buy it. Maybe something to learn in the West. We'll see. And of course, I already hinted at it, the 123rd U.S. Open from the Los Angeles Country Club this week, starting Thursday through and running through Sunday. So check that out, because I'll be talking about it next week, I'm sure. And that is it. This is a long episode. A lot to talk about, and a lot of things coming out and things that have come out. And whew, I'm beat. So I will say thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at BesotedGeekPod. Email us, BesotedGeek@gmail.com. I will read letters on this very show. We have a website, BesotedGeek.com. A lot of drink recipes if you like to partake in the booze. We have a lot of recipes that tie into movies that we covered on our old podcast. And I am looking to actually do some drink making videos soon. So stay tuned for that. tpublic.com/user/besotedgeek. You can buy some merch, based on our logos that we've used over the years. I may try to go back into that. No promises. And upload some, and I'll possibly make some new ones. It's kind of a pain in the ass to do, but I might do it if I get motivated. And as I've mentioned once or twice on this very podcast, I think, patreon.com/besottedgeek. You can support the show for as little as a dollar, as much as $3, and get a lot of back episodes that you won't find anywhere else. And we do a movie episode every month, me and Peacock, my wife. And we've got, probably, I don't know, well over 300 episodes over there. So check that out. Also, I may get back into video games at twitch.tv/besottedgeek. I'm toying around with that. Right now, I'm really in the thick of The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. So, and I am not streaming that because Nintendo sucks with streaming. So it might be a bit, but there's some stuff over there. Also, we have a YouTube channel. Just search Besotted Geek. I don't have that written down, but there it is. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I will talk at you next week. See ya.